Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe. As I've told you before, but I'll tell you again, our goal is to bring you credible and valid information and insights from diverse members of our community. And Central Coast Voices wants to address how today's choices and changes in some cases will affect tomorrow's community and how long-range ramifications of what goes on in our society may affect you and may affect our community. We are a production of Action for Healthy Communities, which is a project of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County in collaboration with Public Radio KCBX, which is where you're, of course, listening today. We're going to talk today about fun, friendship, and music. In our modern society, for a lot of our youth, music is something that they listen to but don't necessarily participate in. And it really is not given much value as far as something to participate in, unless you happen to have a garage band. For some reason, a lot of people don't think music is important to their life. It's something that unfortunately is not focused on enough in public schools now, but that's a that's a crusade I'll save for some other day. There's especially a lack of opportunity for youth to get involved in singing. And basically, voice programs don't exist a whole lot in public schools, at least not as much as we would want. But there is Central Coast Children's Choir, and Central Coast Children's Choir, if you haven't become aware of it, you've missed out on a wonderful opportunity, and we're going to talk about that today. I have with me Deborah Lagomarsino, who is the past vice president of the board of directors, Joanne Stoddard, who's the apprentice choir and young men's ensemble director, and I also have Meg Stern, Adam Rambolt, and Troy Pettit, who are all youth members of the choir program, and we're going to talk about Central Coast Choir. Something that has gone on for a very long time, but maybe you aren't aware of it and you should be. And we're going to get some understanding on what the youth of our community can do with vocal music. And we will have some samples of music for you later on. Also, want to remind you, if you want to be part of this conversation, you are welcome to call in and be part of the discussion. That may be in the form of questions or observations, or maybe if some of your experiences with Central Coast Children's Choir has been part of your history, you may want to share some of that information with us. Also, the phone number is 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. Become part of the discussion. I'm gonna start off probably with between Deborah and Joanne. Which one of you has the longest history with the organization?
I think I probably do.
Okay,
Debbie. Yeah, I do.
Then give us some idea what the origin of Central Coast Children's Choir is and how you got involved in it.
Well, we're now in our 22nd year, and I first became involved when I had piano students who were part of the choir, and so it was a music event in my county, and because I'm involved in music education, I decided to start attending the choir concerts. So that was probably about 12 years ago. And it was just amazing watching these little children into young adulthood express themselves musically. So then about 6 years ago, I was recruited and ended up on the board of directors. And I've been in that capacity ever since. I've never had a child who's been in the choir myself. But all of these other kids soon became very childlike to me. So I've really watched this organization grow, change. I've watched the development and the musicality of these kids grow from knowing really nothing about music to being able to sight read, sing together with parts and harmony. It's been really, truly amazing for me.
So how have you historically recruited members, or are there enough people in the community that know about this and want to find you and get started and involved?
I believe this is an area that this show, Central Coast Voices, is really going to help us outreach into the community. In the past, we've had flyers at various schools around the county. And I think that we've also been on KCBX before in the past, but we're always looking for new singers, and this is just a great opportunity to do that.
Here's probably a question that you may not like to field the answer to, but I'll put it out there. If someone doesn't have a reasonable amount of experience singing already, and someone feels like they may not really be able to sing very effectively, or they may not feel like they can sing at all. This is coming from someone who's obviously too old to be in a youth choir, but I can tell you, not too unrealistic to tell you that I don't sing because I can't even stand to listen to myself in the shower. But I suspect with enough adequate training, I might actually feel like I could sing. And I'm wondering whether or not that's a barrier that's somewhat difficult to overcome for some youth.
Definitely, that's the case. I sincerely believe that people are born with a human voice, and everyone can sing. But unfortunately, not everyone is encouraged in this modern-day
society.
Scores
of people have asked me to shut up.
And when I hear people say that they can't sing, I'm adamant that everyone can be taught to sing.
And there is no, you don't have to have a prerequisite of any kind of music knowledge when you first come to the Central Coast Children's Choir. They have six different choirs, and the youngest ones, although they're basically in the area of second and third grade, or 6 years old and above, they start training early. And as you progress through the different choirs, it's just amazing how much you develop that ability to sing and the love of singing. So there is no, you don't have to have any music knowledge other than you would really like to sing and you'd like to be in a choir.
Okay. Meg, why don't we start with you. How long have you been involved in this, and how did you get involved?
So I joined when I was in fifth grade. I'm now a senior, so that's been a while. I joined because I had a friend who I went to school with who brought me to Bring a Friend Day at choir, where they got to bring a friend and we got to experience choir for a day and see what it was like, and I just fell in love with it. And ever since then I've been involved in the choir, and it's just been one of the most amazing experiences of my life.
Did you sing before you were involved in the choir, or was this kind of a first experience when you did it?
I'd been singing around the house a bit, but I'd never really been trained. I'd been taking piano lessons for maybe almost a year, so I knew a little bit about music, but I'd never done much singing. And when I went to the choir, I really learned how amazing it is and how connected you can feel to those around you by doing it.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Adam, how about you?
Well, I first joined a choir in third grade on the East Coast, where I used to live.
Okay.
And that was upon teacher recommendation at my school. They said that I should try it out, and I really liked it. And in fact, I liked it so much that the following year, when we decided to move to the West Coast, one of my main requests to my parents was to find a place near a children's choir that I could participate in, which we were able to, and I'm very happy with it.
Okay. Well, while you're still on the mic, because by the way, for our listeners, I apologize. We have five people that we're talking to, and we can't really mic the room for five people, so we're asking them to move around a little bit. So if the volume goes up and down a little bit, just be patient with us. One of the things that comes up, and I believe it's a recurring theme in that. Youth choir, there's a history of youth choirs having a lot more girl members than boy members. And because everybody figures, oh, a choir is kind of a girl's thing. So how does this choir address that, and how did you address that? Or did it even occur to you?
Well, it's definitely occurred to me when I first joined Central Coast Children's Choir. Within a year, I was basically the only boy of my age in the choir with like 40 other girls. But with the creation of YME, or Young Men's Ensemble, a completely separate group for men who are growing up and their voices are changing, I think that it's definitely helping to address that issue.
Good transition. Thank you. Tell us about YME.
Well, the Young Men's Ensemble is a new group that we are developing under the umbrella of Central Coast Children's Choir. And it is focused on junior high and high school age boys and young men who just love to sing and wish for a comfortable atmosphere and environment to do so.
Mm-hmm. This is something you've started recently.
Actually, Dr. Tom Davies had directed a boys' ensemble with the Central Coast Children's Choir probably about 7 or 8 years ago. And then he had a scheduling conflict at Cal Poly with some of his other classes. And unfortunately, that class was ended. And ever since I've been working with the Central Coast Children's Choir, I've noticed that there are lots and lots of girls involved, but there should also be boys involved. And for some reason, this has become a passion for me.
I'd like to add one thing, too. I think when you go to one of their concerts and you watch them, especially at the young ages now, I think we're seeing more boys in the very beginning. So as those boys go through the choirs, the wonderful thing about Young Men's Ensemble is that now they actually have a place to go when that voice change does happen. And so they've got a lot of training and a lot of fun and friendships along the way, but then they still have that love of singing, but it can be kind of difficult when your voice starts to change. So now would be a great opportunity then for those young men or boys who really want to continue singing to have a wonderful choir atmosphere in which they can do that.
Okay. We do have a couple of selections from the choir that you've decided to share with us. So let's start with one of those. Can you tell us, before we put it on, can you tell us about the first thing we're going to listen to?
This first piece we're going to listen to is sung, I believe, by Premier Choir and Concert Choir. And we had our spring concert in May. And this particular piece, Like a Rainbow, was the opening to our concert.
Okay.
It was written by Bob Chilcott.
Okay, let's listen.
Like a rainbow, 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 like a rainbow
Okay, let's talk a little bit about how you get from people who are just joining the choir to that kind of experience.
I would take that one on.
Okay, go ahead.
There is so much to using your musical voice. It's a very physical activity. You know, we don't just open our mouth and start singing. We need breath. And everyone can sing, but there's much more involved as far as training your ear and blending your voices into one and being able to enunciate your words so that the audience can understand what you're saying. All of those things we work on during the rehearsals, but we make it very fun. And obviously, the more the longer you're involved in singing, the more developed your voice is going to become and your musicianship.
How many voices were we listening to? Round figure is fine. I don't need precision. So.
I'm going to ask Meg, because she was singing in that piece.
Yeah, that was premiere and concert. I want to say maybe 30 students about with the two choirs.
Okay. And what was the, I guess, from the time that that choir started working with that piece until you felt that it was where you wanted it to be to perform it and in this case actually record it, how long is that process?
Well, that particular piece was a piece that the students in concert choir had learned 2 years ago, I believe. And Meg, you can help me with this. You went to a music festival in England, and actually I think Adam did too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is a piece that you learned at that music festival, correct?
Yes. Yeah, that was in England. We sang at Canterbury Cathedral and in London, and we had the opportunity to work with a lot of students from around the world at an international choir festival and sing this song with them, and that was an amazing experience. And then we got to relearn it again with the choir this year and get to sing it again, and it was just amazing. All the memories came rushing back when we sang that song.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece, yeah. I would assume, since there aren't as many opportunities to perform for a large public audience as you may like to have, what is the evolutionary process of building a choir? I mean, I don't want this to sound flip. I think a lot of times my hunch is a choir is singing for their own benefit, for a group of voices working together, and the joy and pleasure of what they work out together is probably as important as a live performance for an audience. So I would assume that's especially for youth that may not have the confidence yet that someone who's been singing for 30 or 40 years might have. Is that part of the evolutionary process of doing this?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I would say also, when we first started 22 years ago, we had one choir and one director. And then gradually over time, with Beth Clem as our artistic director, we've really grown into two choirs, and then three, and then now six. And it really is a testament to our directors and our artistic director that we have quite a few opportunities now for these students to sing in other places throughout our county. They've usually, for the last few years, they've had a small chorus of our students with slow opera when they do their opera every year. They'll sing at farmers markets. We've sung with Canzona, the Master Chorale. They're at the Performing Arts Center every year. So we try and make experiences for these students so they do have the opportunity to sing in other venues and learn music and work with other professionals. I think that's a major goal for these students, is to have that opportunity. Like Meg said, when you're in England or you're someplace else or up in Portland or wherever you are, to be under some major master teachers from different points of view, and to learn to blend those voices, but have those wonderful experiences.
We have the pleasure today of having folks from Central Coast Children's Choir, and since it's interesting, the students that are and participants that we have that are in the studio with us are all high school age. I suspect at some points you kind of wonder, okay, I don't want to be thought of as a children's choir. It's a young adults group, and that's understandable. But it's obviously an experience that you all enjoy. I suspect that the directors couldn't have gotten you to all show up in the last few days of summer at a public radio station if you didn't really love what you did. And we've heard so far from Meg and Adam and Trey. Why don't you? How did you get involved in this, and how does it fit in what you want to do?
Well, I got involved with the Central Coast Children's Choir a long time ago, maybe third or fourth grade. It's been so long, I actually don't remember how I joined.
Wait till you get really old, okay.
Yeah. But it's been a great experience. I mean, when I first joined, I was in the boys' choir that Dr. Davies directed, and that was just an amazing experience. And when he left, I went to concert choir with all the girls and a couple other guys, and then my voice dropped. So I, like you said, there wasn't much of anywhere to go. Mm-hmm. But that's why I think the young men's ensemble is such a great idea, because, well, first of all, you know, a lot of guys think of choir as a girly thing to do, and then they start enjoying it, and by the time they're really into it, now they have a place to go.
Okay. I want to back up. So you started at about the third grade. Did you start because you liked to sing, or did you start because you had a parent who said you really do this?
I started because I loved to sing. I did it every moment I was awake, pretty much. I started because I loved singing.
It's okay. I'm laughing. I have between my children and stepchildren, I have four children, and one of them would probably tell you that they learned how to sing by mimicking Bohemian Rhapsody. So as you're saying that, it's like, and they were probably about 6 or 7 when that happened. Anyway.
You know, one thing that I will mention and really give kudos to Joanne and the group of young men's ensemble from last year is that at the end of last year, we had 4 young men who were singing in this group, and they were doing 4-part harmonies on amazing music. It was just stunning. Yeah. It was stunning.
Yeah. For those of you who are just joining us, we're dealing with folks today and having a great discussion from folks involved with the Central Coast Children's Choir. And one of our key points today is to remind you that this isn't just a girl's thing to do, and that becomes a crusade for the choir, because they do get more young women who show up for rehearsals and getting involved than they do young men. So we want to get started in that discussion. You did bring along also a selection for us that's all male voices, I believe.
Yes. I would like to stress that we do, in all of our groups, we spend a great deal of time picking or selecting music for our groups that is a wide variety of music and represents a large, you know, scope of this music world. Mm-hmm. And with the young men's ensemble, we've had a lot of fun with lots of different kinds of music. But this piece that we're going to play is actually a barbershop quartet. And there are, you know, 4 guys singing, and they're 1 per part.
Yeah, and I would give them credit for this, because we do think the average barbershop quartet has, I would say, men over the age of 70.
Unfortunately, I think a lot of people, when they think of barbershop, that's what they think of. But the style of barbershop has been around for a long, long time. And actually,
some of the people who are singing it have been around since it started, maybe.
Yeah, even in musicals like The Music Man, and they have a wonderful quartet in that musical.
And there's a lot of a resurgence of barbershop singing now. And they have contests at the college and the high school level for a cappella and barbershop style.
Okay, let's take a listen to that then.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the
Wow. Thank you.
Thank yeah. you.
Anyway, if you do want to be part of this discussion, if you've either been part of the Central Coast Children's Choir before or still are, you are welcome to join us. You can give us a call at 781-3875, or if you have some questions about it, that's 805-781-3875. So let's go to square one. Okay. I'm a dad. I've got a 7 or 8 year old child that I think would be very good for this, and I have no idea how much it costs, how much time it's going to take, what's expected of the child and the family to be involved in it. And I think for a lot of people, it may be in the category of the proverbial, you know, I've got so much going on in my life, please don't tell me that there's something else I need to maybe go to rehearsals with my child for every day for the next 6 months. So what is involved? And I don't mean to sound cynically mm-hmm. negative, but I mean, I think that's what parents mm-hmm. often have. I have no room on my plate mm-hmm. to fit this in, even though I want the best growth and development for my kids.
That's right. And there are so many worthwhile activities that students are involved in. I know because I taught junior high and high school, and, you know, there's FFA and athletics and leadership and you name it, robotics. Those are all wonderful, excuse me, wonderful opportunities. But music feeds our soul, and it is important to make a place for that. And it's even more special when you can be on the end of the spectrum of music where you're actually participating and not just a listener. I know because of scheduling problems at the high school level, this young men's ensemble is a wonderful opportunity to be involved in music if you can't fit it into your schedule at school. And it by no means is it meant to be in competition with some of the wonderful music programs we have in this county. But Central Coast Children's Choir, and specifically the young men's ensemble, is really targeted for students who really sincerely love to sing and wish to enrich their lives and learn more about the world of music.
And one of the best places to go to get that information is our website. And our website really basically is centralcoastchildrenschoir.org. And it lists the different choirs. It lists how much time is required for each choir, the grade levels that are kind of appropriate if you're just starting or if you're coming in as a singer already. Only the top couple of choirs, which is concert choir and Ave, which are, Ave especially is an a cappella advanced choir, require any kind of an audition. But the website does list all of that. It gives the prices that are different for each choir because the time is different. But we have fabulous directors for each choir, along with accompanists. So there's a lot to this besides just dropping your kids off and coming back and picking them up.
You have obviously it's an ongoing program. Is there, and I know you have a number of kind of starting rehearsals for some of the groups in the next, over the next month or so. Is this something that you either have to get involved in the early fall, or as people, if someone looks and says, oh, gee, I wish I had gotten involved in this and contacted them in August, because we're doing the program in August, and that's one of the reasons why you're here is to talk about opportunities for the kids. But if somebody becomes January and they wish they had started to do this, is it something that there's you have to pretty much start the year out? I mean, it's, I don't know if that fits for people.
Well, we are having registration now for our 2017-2018 season, and we will be starting our rehearsals in late August and in September. Again, each group is starting at a different time, and that information is on our website. But we encourage people, if they're at all interested, just to come to our rehearsal and bring a friend and just see what it, you know, entails, and if it's something that you may, your child may enjoy. We also have another registration opportunity in January. So students are encouraged to join at that time as well.
We'll get back to some more information about that. We do have a caller. Erica from Paso Robles, are you there?
Yes.
Thank you for waiting. What are your thoughts?
Well, I just wanted to compliment that men's choir or ensemble. I was driving listening, and I mean to tell you, I got goosebumps up my back, up my head. They were great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, terrific. Have you... go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You continue.
Oh, I was just going to say, one of the boys that was speaking also said that he was singing all the time, and I said, oh, I still sing all the time, but I'm no good. They are great. I'm going to keep an eye out and try and come to one of the shows or concert.
Good. That'd be great. Yes.
Yeah, there is quite a... There's a program. You have some of your choirs that actually meet and work in North County. I guess through
Excellent.
The Fine Arts Academy in Atascadero High School.
That is correct.
Middle school.
Okay.
Yeah. Alrighty. Great. Thanks for the call, Erica.
All right.
Take
thank
care.
You. Bye.
Alrighty. That's good to hear. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say that we would love to outreach into the North County more than we do now, but that takes students from the North County. So we're really encouraging and outreaching. But this year we're offering Debut Choir, which is our youngest group, roughly grades kindergarten through second grade, and we're offering a North County debut choir that will be meeting on Wednesdays in Atascadero at the Fine Arts Academy.
So there's an opportunity for kids as young as kindergarten.
Yes.
That's got to be a tough age to get to work together as a choir.
Well, I don't personally direct the group. But Eden Bywater is the director of the debut choir. Mm-hmm. And this year, Eden is also going to be helping me with the apprentice choir, which is for grades third grade through sixth grade.
Is there a maximum size? I mean, well, I guess I would love to hear you say that you've had to worry about making larger choirs or having multiple choirs for the same age group because you have too many youth getting involved, but I'm assuming
never
too many.
Never too many.
So that's good to know. So there's room for anybody.
Absolutely.
It's not like, oh, gee, we had room for 30 members of this choir, and you're number 31, so you can't do it.
Absolutely
it's
not.
Okay.
In my dreams, we would have a young men's ensemble of 80.
Okay, good to know. Okay, we have another caller. Hold on a second. Let's see. Where do we have... Okay, I'll get back to that because I'm not quite sure which... Oh, there we go. Okay. All righty. Angela, are you there?
I am.
Okay. Jump on in.
Hi. This is Angela from Arts Obispo, and it's a great program today, and I just wanted to congratulate you for the great work that you're doing.
Thank you.
It's really wonderful. There are so many surprising benefits of music for children and singing in students, both emotional and... And I also heard what you both said, that you wanted to get the word out about singing being for boys, too. So next Friday, we have a wonderful speaker at the Creative Economy Forum, Terrence McNally, and he is working with the group on storytelling and the narrative to hone our stories and get our messages out for the good of the many. So if maybe somebody that volunteers with you, such as your marketing director or publicist would come, they can help with that particular message.
That would be wonderful.
Thank you. I'll certainly pass that along to Vicki Carroll.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Vicki Carroll.
Thanks for the call, Angela.
Thanks.
Good to talk to you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah. That's Angela Toddy, who is the executive director of Arts Obispo.
Oh, wonderful.
And they've got quite a program going on for people to work on learning more about how to market the arts and promote the arts on the Central Coast. It's a program they've got at Cal Poly a week from tomorrow. So you may want to follow up on that.
Yeah. Sounds interesting.
But they're wonderful folks, and it's a great program. Anyway, let's see. We've got another call, so we'll go ahead. Aaron from Atascadero, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, just jump on in.
Well, I just wanted to say that Central Coast Children's Choir offers an excellent program. I have two daughters who both sang with the program for at least 9 and 10 years, respectively. And it was a really special thing to see my kids go to another community, San Luis Obispo, and connect with children from all around the county and have this love and this passion for singing and music that is so fostered by these wonderful directors. And I really can't say enough about you know, it's a music program, but it's more than that. It teaches the kids camaraderie, about the arts, about teamwork. It's just like a baseball team. You know, when one of them is missing, their sound is a little different. So they all count on each other. And I really want to commend the staff, the directors, as well as the staff and the board of directors for all the work that they're doing for our kids in this county. Because, due to cutbacks, there's not as much funding for the arts in our schools, which is a terrible thing. But with programs like this, and I believe they offer scholarships for those that are in need, we can get those arts back to the kids and have a well-balanced citizens, growing up in our community.
Great. Thanks for the call, Erin.
Thank you.
Okay.
Erin does bring up a good point, too, and that is that we do have scholarships available, so we will not turn away any student who really wants to participate and really loves to sing, so that's always an option. Our board of directors, which is a non-paid board, work really tirelessly to raise money to be able to have the choir and all of its benefits, so that it's really a hard-working board. And we do try and get grants, but we definitely have scholarship funds available. And we're always looking for donors or sponsors at many different levels. And we have some wonderful folks who have continued to do that for us and donate regularly. But we will not turn a student away. We would like to have as many students as possible, and we would be glad to help make that affordable through scholarships.
Okay, that's a very good point, because I'm sure for a lot of people, if you have young children, the economy's better than it was a few years ago, but it's still tough. We've talked before on this program about how expensive housing is here, which cuts into a lot of people's ability to have any discretionary income. So if there are programs available like this, sometimes people may worry about whether or not they can fit it into their budget or make it work at all. But it's good to know that you'll find a way to work with pretty much anyone. So
absolutely.
That's good to know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's get back to the kids a little bit, and so Trey, while you're sitting there, what is a day in a life of working on the choir here? What is expected of you? What are rehearsals like? What is involved? Because I suspect it's not in the category of how I'd like to spend my average Saturday afternoon most of the time.
We have to practice the music. Especially if there's, say, a certain part that you have trouble with. The regular, I guess, meetings we have every week, we basically start out by learning the new songs bit by bit, and we keep doing the songs, focus on each part that needs to get focused on, I guess. You can personally choose to work on it at home however hard you would like. However hard you work on it at home, the harder you work, the faster you get it, but you just work with everyone.
Go ahead.
Yeah, never mind.
Okay, that's okay. I think that's something we have to conquer with youth a lot, because it's not a generational thing now. I think it's a generational thing through history, and that is everybody would like to get through their pre-adolescent and the adolescent years without having to work too hard. I'm married to a middle school math teacher, and we talk all the time about the fact that there's an awful lot of things and opportunities in our lives that are not just student-oriented and hard work, but it's sometimes hard to convince youth that that perseverance and hard work gets them results on things like this, so it's good that that works.
That's right, and anything that is really worthwhile is going to take a great deal of work, and certainly the Young Men's Ensemble has realized that. And it also depends on how difficult the music is that we're working on. But we try to keep the bar raised and require a really great deal of work. And the students are expected to practice at home. They really have to. And I just wanted to also just add to what Trey said. The beginning of a rehearsal every week just starts with stretching and warming up. And we utilize that time to teach voice technique. So there's a lot that's done at the very beginning of the rehearsal. And we also spend quite a bit of time on just learning how to read music notation and rhythm.
I know at some of the very early choirs, occasionally they'll do a Super Saturday or they'll do a Saturday recital. And we actually watch some of the fun things that they do with the younger children, such as rhythm games, music games, all sorts of things to help their rhythm, their knowledge of beats, of the different note values. But I must admit, one of the most challenging groups that I've seen go through their warm-ups is Ave and concert choir. And Melody Svensson is their director. And maybe, Meg, could you just talk a little bit about what kinds of things do you do just even in your warm-ups?
Yeah, the warm-ups really, they give us a foundation for what we're doing. One of the main things we really like to work on is harmony and being able to adjust our own voices to fit with the choirs and really listening to those around us. So we do a lot of warm-ups where we have different levels of singing parts from altos to sopranos, low to high. We all have different notes and how they all blend together and really work to train our ears to be able to understand the harmonies. And then on top of that, doing a lot with rhythms and beats to understand how we all fit together. And these warm-ups really give us the foundation we need to be able to then go into these different, very difficult music pieces. Sometimes we've had six-part pieces between 10 people in Ave, and they're difficult. But these warm-ups that we do really give us the ability to understand how we can all fit together and really make it sound beautiful.
And most of the warm-ups, I think in all of the choirs, these aren't things that are written down.
No.
These are things that the directors will either teach or start them off, and then depending upon their level of readiness for whatever the next step is, then they take those wonderful warm-up exercises to the next level, which can be very impressive just to watch the warm-ups and listen.
Yeah, very good point. The opportunity is there for anybody that wants to get involved, and you've made that really clear. Are there any ways that any things you're doing wrap around and work with any of the school programs? I noticed there Atascadero High School has a choir program. I think Arroyo Grande High School does. San Luis High School does also.
Paso Robles High School.
Is there a chance to work together with some of the school programs?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Actually, around our county, we do have some very fine music programs. But I'm hoping, well, I am planning to offer a men's choir clinic in January, January 20th, and we would like to extend that invitation to all high school young men who are singing in their school programs. But other than that, I don't think we're really, I mean, we provide an additional opportunity for those students who might already be singing in a high school program. And this just offers them yet another opportunity to sing.
Especially because our program is always in the afternoon. The first one, I believe, starts at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then it goes, depending upon which choir you're in, whether you come at 4 or a little bit later or how long you stay. So just like Joanne said, it really is an adjunct to whatever music you can find through any of the schools, possibly the churches, although there's just not too many choirs with the time to give the actual education, I believe, that many of our students get. And I've seen this a lot with piano lessons, where I will ask a student about the value of a note or something, or we're starting a new rhythm, and they'll say, oh, yes, I had that in choir. Oh, this is great. Or, you know, it happens the other way around, where they will say, oh, we started to do this in choir, but I already knew about it because... So I think, you know, we're trying to work hand in hand with as much... as many music programs as we possibly can, but this is definitely an added program for those who really have a love of music and want to sing.
That's right.
Are there any general questions we haven't? I mean, we've covered a lot of material, and I want to make sure that we get the knowledge that everybody needs mm-hmm. about what the program is.
Well, we are just getting, you know, organized for our upcoming season, and registration materials are available now. And any young person, any youth in our area, we just want to make sure that the word gets out that this wonderful opportunity is available. And like I said, all the information is on our website.
Correct. It's on the website. And programs like this, when you are in a group, really help to instill your own confidence. It gives you a sense of belonging. There's a certain amount of discipline that you must develop and learn, and that's over time. It doesn't just happen. And you really need to focus. And I think those are all skills that are also transferable in life to any job that you have. But when you're singing with a choir or a group of people, there's just something about letting your heart soar with all these people around you with the same focus and the same love of music, I guess. But there's a lot of skills that go into this that are very transferable into everyday life, any kind of a music mm-hmm. group.
Yeah. As happens often, the adults have sort of monopolized the phone, the conversation here. So I want to give the youth from the choir. It is a youth choir. Give you guys an opportunity to share with us some of your thoughts. Adam, you're back with us. We've had to juggle people around because we don't have that many microphones today. But I want to make sure give us an idea of what you want to make sure that other youth in with this opportunity might want to know that we've maybe not been clear enough about.
Well, I just want to share that it's a really great experience in all aspects. Like with Young Men's Ensemble, there's just tons of opportunities. It's a lot smaller than all the other choirs, which comes with both pros and cons, because in some ways you can't like lean on each other in the same ways you can with like 10 to 15 to more people. But at the same time, you get a lot more one-on-one talking to. You have your own part. Everyone is doing different parts usually, and that just helps instills a lot more focus. You have to like totally dedicate yourself to it, and you really feel like you're part of the community because you're in charge of whatever you're singing. You can't like lean on other people as much. And it just has a lot of opportunities. I and Meg as well, we went to England in the summer of 2013, and that was amazing. Like, it was just so cool.
Well, we barely skipped over that when Meg was talking before, too. So that was an opportunity with the children's choir, Central Coast Children's Choir. Is that, how often does that opportunity come up?
Well, I think we've had two such opportunities while I've been with the choir. One was to England, and the other one was to Oregon. I, due to like a scheduling conflict, wasn't able to go to Oregon, but I heard that it was just as great as the England one.
Okay, great. Thanks. Meg, why don't you jump in?
Yeah, I did go to the Oregon one, and that one truly was amazing as well. I'm still in contact with a lot of friends that I made there, and I even bonded even more with the other kids who were in my choir. It truly was an amazing experience. The choir overall, it's just been an amazingly impactful part of my life. It's given me friends that are some of my best friends I've ever had throughout my life, and the camaraderie is just so there. We're really like a family. We call it living in the chord, being able to be there and all sharing in this love of music and making beautiful music together. It's just so amazing. And we've gotten to travel so many places, to England and to Oregon and other places. And we get to learn about different cultures and different ideas all expressed through a shared love of music. And it's just been so impactful. We get to learn about leadership. I've gained leadership skills through this as well of my friends have as well, and public speaking too, and just having a stage presence. All of it together makes it such a valuable experience. I can't stress enough how important it has been to my life. So
great. Thank you. Okay, Trey, why don't you jump on in and tell us about maybe some of the things that we didn't hit on that are important to you.
Well, I mean, that's kind of hard to follow up on. I can't say I've been to Oregon or England or anything like that with the choir, but it definitely builds on your leadership skills, especially with young men's ensemble being such a small choir. Like Adam said, you really have to focus in on your part, and it's a lot of work, but you really get to, you know, throw your voice out there because you're the only one, most of the times, in small choirs singing your part. It's your own part, and, you know, the friendships made while doing this, for me, they've lasted years, and I think that's a really important part of this because it not only is it letting people do something they love, but at the same time, they're making friendships that last a long time. So.
Okay, good. Thank you. Okay. All right. The adults get the final word today. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just...
Anyway, yeah. So go ahead. Share with us, both of you share with us maybe some of the things that we haven't hit on that are very important to remember.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was just... very excited to add to what Trey just said. We're hoping that we won't always have one per part. And that is one of the major points that I'd like to make today, is that any young man, young boy or man who would like to join us and sing with us, it's just a wonderful opportunity, and we'd love to have everyone. No audition is necessary, and we just make it a very fun bonding kind of type experience, just like what Meg said. Music has a almost a mystical way of bonding, bonding people together.
Okay, thank you. Did we, anything else you want to add, either of you?
You know, one of the things that we write on some of our literature and things that go out is that music can and does change lives. And I truly believe that music does change lives. It's universal. And if you look at the things that we share in common with most every nation in the world, is some form of music. And to be a part of that on some level in a large group is truly amazing. I just want to make sure that you remember that the website is where a lot of our good information is, centralcoastchildrenschoir.org. And there is a phone number if you would like to call for information. And that number is 464-0443. We just have some wonderfully talented directors who love working with kids, and enrollment is going on right now.
Okay, thank you. Very good point. As I often add to the discussion to remind people, is that if you miss the phone numbers or the websites we have, I think if you just Google this, it's amazing. Google saves us every time. But you can find a lot of information and stay connected from that standpoint. But it's a wonderful program. I've had the pleasure of hearing the choir a number of times before, and the things that you do are wonderful, and I'm glad that it's still here. We have dedicated teachers and parents and volunteer leaders of organizations like this, which do things for our youth. For those of us who were raised around music, it has been frustrating to see that the schools, as they start to cut things back, I don't guilt the schools for what hasn't happened. A lot of it is just financial. But when I went to junior high school, there were three bands, two choirs, and incredible opportunities, even at the junior high school level. The high school level, there were three music teachers in my high school. And I was very surprised to hear over the years as my children came into the world and had opportunities that there was less music. It's wonderful to have programs like this that basically make that connection. And obviously from the youth that came here today to talk about it, it's an incredible opportunity. And as you said, we were all born with a voice. We may not have all been born with a guitar or a clarinet, but we were born with a voice. So I think the opportunity is very good. I thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. This is, as you know, Central Coast Voices. We're glad you're with us and glad you're listening. Central Coast Voices is a production of Action for Healthy Communities, which is a project of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. I want to remind you that the Action for Healthy Communities puts out a report every 3 years called Vital Signs, Understanding San Luis Obispo County. The latest report came out in December of 2016. It comes out every 3 years. That report's available to anybody who wants to see it at actionslo.org. It's also downloadable in part or in total. Next week, Chris Kington Barker will be here with you, and she will be speaking with Monica Grant, April Llewellyn, Shannon Seffert, and Barb McGonney from the YMCA of San Luis Obispo County, Santa Maria Valley, and the YMCA in general, because there are wonderful programs for that. The Y is an important part of our community. It was founded over 160 years ago. It's got over 10,000 neighborhood communities and 9 million youth across the country, along with 13 million adults. We have over 10,000 families in San Luis Obispo County who are affected by the YMCA. It's not just about recreation. It's about healthy living and social responsibility. And Chris will have a wonderful program for you next week with that, and we're glad that she's going to be able to have those guests on. This program, we want to thank, is underwritten by Joan Gellert Sargent. She's a long-term supporter of both the station and this project for Central Coast Voices. You can contact us at voices@kcbx.org or 543-2323 for suggestions and feedback about the program. Thank you to my guests today, Deborah, Joanne, Meg, Trey, and Adam, for giving us a wonderful program and great insights about youth and music. This has been Central Coast Voices, and next up is This American Life. Thank you for joining us.